Good morning, friends. It is the fourth Sunday of the Easter season, in which there are seven total. And for many traditions, today is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. In short, this is when the lectionary readings all include imagery of being guided, cared for, and protected. We see it most especially in Psalm 23 and in the Gospel of John with shepherd imagery. Psalm 23 is one of those sacred texts that many are familiar with, even outside of reading the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This psalm has spanned across time, traditions, cultures, and been the source of inspiration for books, songs, embroidery patterns, and so on. And then there's the Gospel of John. In this text, Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd. And it's worth noting that good here is kalos in the Greek, meaning not morally good, but rather true or real, genuine. And at least for me, this makes the concept so much more meaningful. Jesus certainly did emphasize authenticity over piety in the way he moved in the world, and he still does in the ways he inspires us and guides us to move as well. I know a lot of us have been harmed at most, and heavily discouraged at least, by institutionalized religion and the power so often misused in Christianity by churches, organizations, with Christian leaders at the helm. For many, the idea of God has been conflated with all of this because so often God is made out to be the same way, all-powerful and almighty and all-judging all the time. And I'm not saying that there's no place for good morals or even power and might here, but what I am saying is that Jesus took all our notions of these things and flipped them on their heads over and over again with his sermons, the Beatitudes, his ministry, unconditionally extending healing to the most marginalized, and in the ways he chose to lead and guide, choosing to describe himself in humble ways, like a shepherd instead of a king or a ruler. For the spiritually disheartened, this is a great comfort. Personally, it does a lot to restore my confidence in a God who is too often hijacked for the purposes of the powerful. In doing so, it restores God's personal presence in my life. It's like I can see clearly again. Something is mine that was taken from me, and I've been given access to God in this tender, caring way. This little bit of restored confidence gives me hope. Maybe my faith doesn't have to crumble. Maybe our faith doesn't have to totally crumble. Maybe this too can be restored, strengthened, set on solid ground right alongside those green pastures and still waters. But how exactly? There's a line in the lectionary reading from the first epistle of John in chapter 3, verses 18 and 19 say, "My children, our love must not be simply words or mere talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action and truth. This then is how we'll know we belong to the truth. This is how we will be confident in God's presence." When we seek to not just believe on a cognitive level, but put into practice the love Christ so beautifully and consistently embodied, our confidence in God's presence will increase and our faith will follow suit. It's almost as if we are Christ's body. It's almost as if the movement comes first, almost as if we don't have to have all our faith, belief, ducks in a row first. We can just show up as we are participants in this world. Could this willingness to let go of not being good enough first, not being ready first, not being sure first, not being fill in the blank first, be the letting go needed to create more room within us, more room in our lives, more room in our cups for the good stuff? Maybe our cups can't overflow until we empty out the poison first, the stuff that kills, the antithesis of abundant life. I think about the beautiful poetry of Psalm 23, and really there's no explanation, no commentary, no sermon needed. It stands on its own, speaking to each of our lives, nurturing us in our various seasons and just the ways we need it. This is just what good poetry does. It doesn't judge our moral standings or hand out prescriptions for how to interpret or how to proceed. Instead, it just gives us real talk, a genuine, true word we hunger for on a soul level. God, you are my shepherd. I want nothing more. You let me lie down in green meadows. You lead me beside restful waters. You refresh my soul. I mean, who doesn't want this? Even if I'm surrounded by the shadows of death, I fear no danger because you're with me. You give me courage. You spread a table for me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Who doesn't want this? And guess what? We can have it. You want to know why? Because despite the beauty of the poetry, it is grounded in the reality of our lives and our world. No bypassing here, no otherworldly escapism here. The text doesn't say death won't surround us, dangers will never come, enemies won't exist, but rather that in the midst of all these inevitabilities, God is with us, extending courage and comfort, offering sustenance and rest, seating us at a table with not just enough, but an overflow. Surely this is the abundance our gospel reading speaks to on Good Shepherd Sunday, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Preceding that declaration in verse 10, this is chapter 10, by the way, as well, he says, "I came that you would have life and have it to the full." And he doesn't just tell us this, he shows us how. He models full life from start to finish. Only it's not finished because we carry that mantle now. At least for me, this is what I mean when I say I follow in the way of Jesus, meaning I seek to embody the love and goodness he embodied. I seek to extend the love and healing presence he extended. And I seek to root myself in a sacred community that offers these same gifts to each other in a holy reciprocity. I know Christian is a term a lot of people struggle with who are healing from religious trauma and trying to reimagine and create a healthy faith life. I totally get it. But all Christian really means is little Christ. And personally, I've decided I don't mind that so much. I see beauty in this tradition I once inherited and now choose to dwell within. I see the potential for abundance here. And this is the kind of work that we are about here at Peace. Abundance postures, abundance mindsets, the kind of abundance that Jesus talks about in today's reading. Cultivating this kind of spiritual abundance, which is to say every spiritual resource, is work, spiritual work that does not neglect our physical realities or the realities happening in this world, is always easier said than done. And it's a lifelong work. As I prepared for today's homily, jumping between all these texts, a question came up for me. How do we become people whose cups overflow so that we can love, not just in word or speech, but in truth and action, just like the text requires of us? How do we become people whose cups overflow so that we can love, not just in word or speech, but in truth and action? Remember, the text says that this embodied love is what births a confidence in God's presence. So how do we get there? I truly believe the assignment is different for each of us, but the part that remains the same for all of us is our own willingness to listen. Listening is required. You'll never find an answer from me. Sure, I'll offer my best responses, but I try to be like Jesus, who often answered questions with questions, giving responses, but very rarely clear-cut answers. So only you can determine how you should proceed based on whatever spirit nudges coming up for you right now or in your spirit work. Perhaps some clarity will rise up as you discuss in your host home this morning, but I will tell you this. As you proceed, untangle your spirit nudges from any urges to compare. Untangle those spirit nudges from acting out of guilt or shame. Untangle those spirit nudges from concerns with who may be watching or judging you. Don't follow in those ways that are so concerned with piety over people to the benefit of power. Follow instead in the way of Christ, the shepherd who is good and true, not in moral superiority, but always in authenticity. Follow his lead, seeking that same authenticity for yourself, little Christ. Follow and find abundance, spiritual overflow that feels an awful lot like green meadows and restful waters, a table set, full cups pouring over. May it be so. Amen.